Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharani, Nirvishesh Ashunyavadi, Pashtyatya Deshatarani, Trinad Pisunichena, Tarad Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva Kivalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatiranyata. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Ghor Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Book, 1970. Prayers by the Personified Vedas. Section number 336. The Most Important Glory of the Supreme Lord. Sanandana Kumar then said, after the dissolution of the whole cosmic manifestation, the entire energy and the whole creation in its nucleus form enters into the body of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. At that time, the Lord remains asleep for a long, long time. And when there is again necessity of creation, the Vedas personified assemble around the Lord and begin to glorify Him, describing His wonderful transcendental pastimes. It is exactly like a king. When a king is asleep in the morning, the appointed reciters come around his bedroom and begin to sing of his chivalrous activities. And while hearing of his glorious activities, the king gradually awakens. The Vedic reciters, or the personified Vedas, sing like this. O unconquerable Lord, You are the Supreme Personality. No one is equal to or greater than You. No one can be more glorious in his activities. All glories unto You. All glories unto You, because by Your own transcendental nature, You fully possess all six opulences. And as such, You are able to deliver all conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. O Lord, we fervently pray that You kindly do so. Kindly deliver the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. All the living entities, being Your parts and parcels, are naturally joyful, eternal, and full of knowledge. But due to their own faults, they try to imitate You by trying to become the supreme enjoyer. Thus they disobey Your supremacy and become offenders. And because of their offenses, Your material energy has taken charge of them. Thus their transcendental qualities of joyfulness, bliss, and wisdom have been covered by the clouds of the three material qualities. This cosmic manifestation, made of the three material qualities, is just like a prison house for the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are struggling very hard to escape from material bondage. And according to their different conditions of life, they have been given different types of engagement. But all engagements are based on Your knowledge. Pious activities can be executed only when inspired by your mercy. Therefore, without taking shelter at your lotus feet, one cannot surpass the influence of material energy. Actually, we, as personified Vedic knowledge, are always engaged in your service to help the conditioned soul understand you. This prayer of the Vedas personified illustrates that the Vedas are meant for helping the conditioned souls to understand Krishna. All the Srutis or personified Vedas offered glories to the Lord again and again. They chanted, Jai, Jai. This indicates that the Lord is praised for His glories. Of all of His glories, the most important is His causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls in reclaiming them from the clutches of Maya. Of all His glories, the most important is His causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls in reclaiming them from the clutches of Maya. Of all His glories, the most important is His causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls in reclaiming them from the clutches of Maya. There are unlimited numbers of living entities in different varieties of bodies, some moving and some standing in one place. And the conditioned life of these living entities is due only to their forgetfulness of their eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the living entity wants to lord it over the material energy, by imitating the position of Krishna, one is immediately captured by the material energy and according to one's desire is offered a variety of 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies. Although undergoing the threefold miseries of material existence, the illusioned living entity thinks him or herself the master of all one surveys. Under the spell of the material energy, which represents the threefold material qualities, the living entity is so entangled that it is not at all possible for one to become free unless one is graced by the Supreme Lord. The living entity cannot conquer the influence of the material nature by one's own endeavor. The living entity cannot conquer the influence of the material modes of nature by his or her own endeavor. The living entity cannot conquer the influence of the material modes of nature by one's own endeavor. But because material nature is working under the control of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Lord is beyond its jurisdiction. Except for the Supreme Lord, all living entities, beginning from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, are conquered by the contact of material nature. Because the Supreme Lord possesses in full the six opulences of wealth, strength, fame, beauty, and knowledge, and renunciation, the Lord alone is beyond the spell of material nature. Unless the living entity is situated in Krishna consciousness, he or she cannot approach the Supreme personality of Godhead. Yet the Lord, by his omnipotency, can dictate from within as the Supersoul. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord advises, whatever you do, do for me. Whatever you eat, first of all, offer to me. Whatever charity you want to give, first give it to me. Whatever austerities and penances you want to perform, perform for me. In this way, the karmis are directed to gradually develop Krishna consciousness. Similarly, Krishna directs the philosophers to approach him gradually by discriminating between Brahman and Maya. At last, when one is mature in knowledge, one surrenders unto Krishna. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, after many, many births, the wise philosopher surrenders unto me. The yogis are also directed to concentrate their meditation upon Krishna within the heart. And by such continued process of Krishna consciousness, the yogi can become free from the clutches of material energy. But, as is stated in Bhagavad Gita, because devotees are engaged in devotional service with love and affection from the very beginning, the Lord directs them so that they can approach him without difficulty or deviation. Only by the grace of the Lord can the living entity understand the exact position of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The statements of the personified Vedas give clear evidence that the Vedic literature is presented only for understanding Krishna. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that through all the Vedas, it is Krishna alone who has to be understood. Krishna is always enjoying, either in the material world or in the spiritual world. And because he is the supreme enjoyer, for him there is no distinction between the material world and the spiritual worlds. The material world is an impediment for the ordinary living entities because they are under its control. But Krishna, being the controller of the material world, has nothing to do with the impediments it offers. Therefore, in different parts of the Upanishads, the Vedas declare, Brahman is eternal, full of all knowledge and all bliss. But the one supreme personality of Godhead is existing in the heart of every living entity. Because of his all-pervasiveness, the Supreme Lord is able to enter not only into the hearts of the living entities, but even into the atoms also. As the Supersoul, he is the controller of all activities of the living entities. He is living within all of them and witnessing their actions, allowing them to act according to their desires. And also, he gives them the results of their different activities. He is the living force of all things, but still, he is transcendental to the material qualities. The Supreme Lord is omnipotent. He is expert in manufacturing everything, and on account of his superior natural knowledge, He can bring everyone under His control. As such, He is everyone's master. The Supreme Lord is sometimes manifest on the surface of the globe, but He is simultaneously within all of matter. Desiring to expand Himself in multiforms, He glanced over the material energy. And thus, innumerable living entities became manifest. Everything is created by His superior energy, and everything in His creation appears to be perfectly done without deficiency. Those who aspire for liberation from this material world must therefore worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate cause of all causes. He is just like the total mass of earth, from which varieties of earthly pots are manufactured. The pots are made of earthly clay. They rest on the earth, and after being destroyed, their elements ultimately merge back into the earth. Although the Personality of Godhead is the original cause of all varieties of manifestation, the impersonalist especially stress the Vedic statement, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. The impersonalists do not take into account the varieties of manifestation emanating from the supreme cause of Brahman. They simply take into consideration that everything emanates from Brahman, and after destruction merges into Brahman, and that the intermediate stage of manifestation is also Brahman. Although the Mayavadis believe that prior to its manifestation, the cosmos was in Brahman, after creation it remains in Brahman, and after destruction it merges into Brahman, they do not know what Brahman is. This fact is clearly described in the Brahma Samhita. The living entities, space, time, and the material elements like fire, earth, sky, water, and mind constitute the total cosmic manifestation, known as Bhur, Bhuva, Sva. And all of this is manifested by Lord Govinda. It flourishes on the strength of Lord Govinda, and after annihilation enters into and is conserved in Lord Govinda. The Creator, Lord Brahma, therefore says, I worship Lord Govinda, the original personality, the cause of all causes. The word Brahman indicates the greatest of all and the maintainer of everything. The impersonalist are attracted by the greatness of the sky, but because of their poor fund of knowledge, they are not attracted by the greatness of Krishna. In our practical life, however, we are attracted by the greatness of a person and not by the greatness of a big mountain. Actually, the term Brahman can be applied to Krishna only. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna admitted that Lord Krishna is Param Brahman, or the supreme rest of everything. Krishna is the supreme Brahman because of his unlimited knowledge, unlimited potencies, unlimited strength, unlimited influence, unlimited beauty, and unlimited renunciation. Therefore, the word Brahman can be applied to Krishna only. Arjuna affirms that because the impersonal Brahman is the effulgence emanating as rays of Krishna's transcendental body, Krishna is Param Brahman. Everything is resting on Brahman, but Brahman itself is resting on Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the ultimate Brahman or Param Brahman. The material elements are accepted as inferior energies of Krishna because by their interaction, the cosmic manifestation takes place, rests on Krishna, and after dissolution, again enters into the body of Krishna as his subtle energy. Krishna is therefore the cause of both manifestation and dissolution. The phrase Sarvam Kalvidang Brahma means everything is Krishna, and that is the vision of the Mahabhagavatas. Now they see everything in relation to Krishna. The impersonalists argue that Krishna has transformed himself into many, and therefore everything is Krishna, and worship of everything is worship of him. This false argument is answered by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Although everything is a transformation of the energy of Krishna, he is not present everywhere personally. Therefore, he is simultaneously present and not present. By his energy, he is present everywhere. But as the energetic, he is not present everywhere. This simultaneous presence and non-presence is inconceivable to our present material senses. But a clear explanation is given in the beginning of the Sri Ishopanishad. There it is stated that the Supreme Lord is so complete that although unlimited energies and their transformations are emanating from Krishna, Krishna's personality is not in the least bit transformed. Therefore, since Krishna is the cause of all causes, intelligent persons should take shelter of his lotus feet. Krishna advises everyone just to surrender unto him alone. And that is the way of Vedic instruction. Since Krishna is the cause of all causes, he is worshipped by all kinds of sages and saints by the observance of regulative principles. When there is a necessity for meditation, great personalities meditate on the transcendental form of Krishna within the heart. In this way, the minds of great personalities are always engaged in Krishna. With minds engaged in Krishna, naturally the captivated devotees simply talk of Krishna. Talking of Krishna or singing of Krishna is called kirtan. Lord Chaitanya also recommends kirtaniya sada hari. That means always thinking and talking of Krishna and nothing else. That is called Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is so sublime that anyone who takes to this process is elevated to the highest perfection of life, far, far beyond the concept of liberation. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, Krishna advises everyone always to think of him, render devotional service to him, worship him, and offer obeisances to him. In this way, a devotee becomes fully Krishnaized, and being always situated in Krishna consciousness, ultimately goes back to Krishna. Although the Vedas have recommended worship of different demigods as different parts and parcels of Krishna, it is to be understood that such instructions are meant for less intelligent class of men who are still attracted by material sense enjoyment. But the person who actually wants perfect fulfillment of the mission of human life should simply worship Lord Krishna, and that will simplify the matter and completely guarantee the success of one's human life. Although the sky, water, and land are all part and parcel of the material world, when one stands on the solid land, one's position is more secure than if one stands in the sky or in the water. An intelligent person, therefore, does not stand under the protection of different demigods, even though they are part and parcel of Krishna. Rather, one stands on the solid ground of Krishna consciousness. That makes one's position sound and secure. The impersonalists sometimes give the example that if one stands on a stone or a piece of wood, one is certainly standing on the surface of the land, because the stone and wood are both resting on the surface of the earth. But it may be replied that if one stands directly on the surface of the earth, one is more secure than on the wood or stone which are resting on the earth. In other words, taking shelter of Paramatma or taking shelter of impersonal Brahman is not as secure a course as that of taking direct shelter of Krishna in Krishna consciousness. The position of the jnanis and yogis is therefore not as secure as the position of the devotees of Krishna. Lord Krishna has therefore advised in Bhagavad Gita that only a person who has lost one's senses takes to the worship of demigods. And regarding persons who are attached to the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Srimad Bhagavatam replies, "My dear Lord, those who are thinking themselves as liberated simply by mental speculation are not yet purified of the contamination of material nature because of their inability to find the shelter at your lotus feet. Although they rise to the transcendental situation of existence in impersonal Brahman, they certainly fall from that exalted position because they have neglected to desire your lotus feet. Lord Krishna therefore advises that the worshippers of demigods are not very intelligent. Persons who derive only temporary exhaustible results are not very intelligent. Their endeavors are those of less intelligent men. But the Lord assures in Bhagavad Gita that his devotee has no fear of falling." Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.